Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steven Jack Putella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about tiny houses and RVs and mobile homes as ways to improve your property. Should you do it or shouldn't you do it? I don't know. We're going to talk about the pros and cons and the whole point to all of this.
What's involved?
Before we take a look, before we take a question posted by...
What?
Me.
Oh.
Before we actually get into the topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Rod asks, hello. I have one seller with several properties he wants to sell. I don't have the money to buy them all. What is the process to tie them all up in an agreement? I have heard this mentioned in podcasts and webinars. I don't remember what you call this technique. I'm not talking about an option. Besides the obvious reasons, could this be done without a title company? Is there some other way to put the land into escrow? Thanks.
Want to do it, Jill?
You go ahead.
It's called a release, or at least that's what I call it. It's called a lot of different things, but I call it a release. And here's what happens. Somebody's got 100 properties, but you only want to spend money for 10 of them. And it's a smoking deal, right? It's worth going through all this stuff. So you ask the escrow agent, you ask the escrow branch that you're working with to give you the most experienced agent in the branch. You don't want to do this with a brand new agent. And they will write up the deal as if it's all 100 properties. Mm-hmm. They'll do one title insurance policy, cheap now. And you ask them to do 10 releases.
Like a month. You could spread it out however you want.
Yeah, one a month.
Whatever you and the seller agree on.
Yep.
So, and they love it.
Now they're quote unquote tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is you use those first 10 deals, the cash that you generate, to do the next release and the next release and the next release. So in the end, you only actually have to come up for the money for the first release. I've done this a lot of times. I've done this and made millions of dollars per transaction, actually.
Right, because as you, here's what happens. As you're buying them and as you're selling them, now you could actually speed up the process if you want. You know, maybe it's a release of 10 the first month, and then it's, now we've got the cash from the first 10, and, you know, by month three, let's say, the 10 that you sold in month two, you know, or something like that, now I can go, I can buy 20 at a time, and then I can buy 40 at a time and just keep and doing it that way.
Exactly.
So and you can, yeah, you can spread this out over whatever you and the seller agree on. The escrow agent works for you. You get to call the shots and tell them what you want. And I love these because the seller is usually thrilled. Do they really want to go? And if you're worried about how am I going to talk my seller into this? Because this is one of the things that gets to me is people go, how am I going to talk the seller into this? That's a no-brainer. They're so thrilled that you're buying the whole, their whole portfolio.
You're not cherry picking and all that.
Exactly. And they're not stuck with what's left over. And you negotiate. So here's a couple great things. One, they love that you're buying the whole portfolio. So that's brilliant. And they don't care if it takes so long. They know they're going to get X amount of money. And at the end of that year, 6 months, whatever you guys work out, they're out. They think that's great. And then, and number two, you know, everybody wins. You're negotiating a better price. You're taking the good and the bad and the middle properties off of their hands. And you get to negotiate a different price because we all know that these ones are really great and these ones are not so hot. I'm going to take the whole thing. Let's negotiate this price, you know, whatever it is. It's awesome. And then another fact, sorry, I'm so excited about these.
No, it's good.
These.
I drop everything when we get a release deal in.
Poor Steven's like, oh. I'm like, oh, well, and then.
You're doing a great
you're
job.
You're not having to send out, but think about the businesses you've got coming in right now, too. You may or may not be buying other property. This may be consuming your thing, and you have a seller here that you're not doing any work. You're like, this is great. All I keep doing is putting more money into it and selling this from the same guy. This could keep me busy for a while.
Yeah, for a year.
Mm-hmm.
For years, actually.
I love it.
I've done deals. I did a deal in Grants, New Mexico in Cibola County where a real estate developer picked up a ton of properties at a tax sale a lot of years ago. very, like, he's a wealthy guy. Mm-hmm. And he said, I can't stand these properties any longer. Here's my price. Release it. Let's just do it. We'll do it in a release work. And it, we, I made, I don't know, I cleared like $1.5 million in less than 12 months.
Because they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he knew it. And he's like, congratulations, man. Good work. Well, this is your thing, not mine.
Well, you know what's so funny with people like that? People sometimes will go, yeah, why would he not do it? Because you know what? He doesn't need the money.
Well, and he's just, that's...
He's done.
I mean, why... if somebody came to me and said, here's an heavy industrial building from the 60s that you can you can buy for $500,000 and I'm sure it's worth $2 million, I'm just not interested. And you know what I'd say? No, thanks.
Yeah, because we don't even want that property
type. I don't want industrial property. That's right. Not my thing. So it's not even that I don't need the money. Everybody can use an extra $1 million. Everybody. Right. I don't care who you are. But... it's just, what do I don't want to go deal with industrial property. There's so many other things that it's so suited for other people that know about environmental cleanup and understand getting approvals from the EPA. And it's just so out of my wheelhouse. By the time I figure it all out, I will have made $1 million somewhere else.
Well, it's like renovations. We decided not to go that path.
Same thing.
If we had decided to go that path, we would be all in.
Yeah.
And we would be doing it
like
the other people and have a slew of contractors, maybe even our own contracting company at this point. You know what I mean? We would be all in and probably doing it for others.
We chose data.
We just decided we don't want to do that.
We chose data instead.
Exactly.
It's a good decision.
I chose you.
That's not my problem. It's your problem. Today's topic, tiny houses, RVs, and mobile homes. You know, you can throw these things on top of the property that you buy. Were you,
sorry, I just thought of something funny. No, I thought of something funny. Tiny houses, RVs, and mobile homes sounds like planes, trains, and automobiles. Oh. Like, this is another movie. This is another, what was his name?
Danny DeVito.
Well, wait, who else is in that movie?
I don't remember.
Okay, but yeah, that's what it made me think of.
This is the meat of the show. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, you can put, let's say you buy a piece of property. I just bought two pieces of property in Coconino County, Arizona, in a subdivision that I absolutely love. You know, and we probably paid slightly too much, but we're going to come out of it great just because I've been to the subdivision.
Yeah.
It's actually a member who sent us a deal and said they don't want to do it anymore for whatever reason. It's 2 1-acre lots. They're not contiguous. For like $750 we're paying each. Mm-hmm. We'll sell them for $5,000 to $10,000 each. But I know the first thing I thought of, because I've been in the subdivision, is that there's a lot of abandoned mobile homes there.
Oh.
So I said, you know what? Maybe we should just... I always have these stupid thoughts right when we buy it, and I always end up not doing it.
Thank goodness.
Just let's find a mobile home or an RV even on Craigslist.
Right.
That's up there in Flagstaff. And let's pay somebody to put it on a flatbed.
Tow it over.
And just dump it on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be even connected to anything or anything. And I'll tell you what, it'll double, maybe triple the value of the property.
Is it because it's different?
It's no longer a vacant land deal.
Yeah.
It's a house deal. And disclose all of that. I'm not trying to lie or anything. I'm just going to say, yeah, we had this mobile home moved down here. I have no idea if you can hook it up to anything. And I don't care.
But it's there.
Yeah, but it's not a piece of vacant land any longer. In fact, I probably would write the description like this. This mobile home was intentionally put here after we purchased the property to show you what's possible. We haven't seen the mobile home. We haven't been to the property. Chances are you can't connect it to anything, and it's going to be a disaster. Here's the price of the property. Click here to check out with your credit card. And they will flock to it because they think they're getting a great deal.
That's true.
Most people, before they get to us, would try to like lie about it and say, this is a mobile home I lived in.
Right.
And no, you never want to do
anything
gorgeous. Like that.
No.
Ever.
Yeah.
Gorgeous is okay, but that place is gorgeous.
It's the property's gorgeous, not the mobile.
That property is, I don't know, 15 miles from the Grand Canyon, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're into the outdoors, the high desert with foliage outdoors,
trees,
and you're into the Grand Canyon...
I can smell it.
Me too.
You know,
I can too, Jill.
Smell up there. I can smell the trees right now. I know that area.
See, now it's times like these that I start thinking, well, maybe we should keep one of them.
Oh.
And then 10 years later, Jill, 10 tax bills later, 10 years later, Jill gets a tax bill and her staff does, and it's like, You guys want to keep this now because you've paid 22 times more than the acquisition price in taxes.
Yeah, by the way. So it's so funny. You're so good. I lost where I was going with that. That's okay.
A stinky RV.
The smell and the trees and the area.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's one of the downfalls and one of the things why you would not go look at your property, because you don't want to stand there and go, all right, this is awesome. And then think about and consider keeping it. There'll be lots more awesome.
Yeah.
So don't hang on to, remember why you're here.
I use it as a personal indicator about whether or not it's a good deal.
Oh, that's true.
Like if I sit there and say, like, have you ever had an old car and you clean it all up, have it all completely done, and you look at it and you're like, this is what it looked like when I bought it.
Yeah.
I should probably keep this.
Yeah, after it's a detail.
That's the feeling you want about real estate. Then you know you did a good deal.
It's true.
You subconsciously communicate that in how you post it and how you present it, and it'll sell fast.
I completely agree. That ties into my mom used to tell me, you know it's a good gift when you don't want to give it. You want to give it away.
You want to keep it?
Yeah. That means it's a good gift.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, my mom used to tell me that. It's like, I'm like, look at this necklace. Isn't it gorgeous? And everything, like, I kind of want to keep it. Knock it off. It's a good gift. You should give it.
Oh, I
see.
Yeah,
that's what she would say.
I thought you meant you know that you received a good gift when you don't want to re-gift it.
No, when you're finding the gift. Oh, gosh. No, I'm one of those. You know what's funny about that? I'm not a re-gifter. Yeah. I'm way more sentimental about things people give me than I don't. And I have some interesting things that I've been given over the years.
Let's hear.
I have to think. You're putting me on the spot right now.
Oh.
Well, okay. All right. Well, let's put it this way. I'm sure I'm not alone in this one. How many of you out there have made lovely pottery for you, or paintings or drawings? Come on, you have some, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Tons of that stuff.
Thank you. So that's a little more, there because it was your child made it and did something for you. But even I've had interesting gifts that children have bought me that I keep because I love because they bought me. So thank you. I don't really have stuff from you like that. I'm trying to think.
Have good gifts for me?
No. No, you are really a good gift giver that you really put, you make sure that's something I'm going to love sometimes. You know it when you buy it. So it's not an issue. I'm trying to think, have I done that to you though? Have I given you gifts that you're like, why did she buy this for me?
Never.
Are you sure?
We're 100%. Just at a point in our life where it's like, what do you want for your birthday? Oh, I want a Vespa. Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, I want a diamond ring. Okay, let's go pick it out together.
Exactly.
That's truly what happens.
That's
true. And then there's usually some other side gift that's like the perfect coffee cup that you'll use forever.
Exactly.
That doesn't cost a lot of money, but
it's on sale.
Perfect for you.
It's cute. Exactly. Thank you.
Like that leafy cup that I bought here recently.
That looks like a flower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. So what is the end story? Do I do it? Do I not do it? What's worth it? What's not worth it?
Well, then the same thing the same mobile home story I just described can happen with tiny houses, because there's a tiny house craze right now.
Yeah.
I keep thinking it's going to go away. Or even easier, RVs. If you go on a Craigslist, you can find a drivable RV and have somebody drive it out there. It's going to be cheaper and easier to move a junky mobile home and way cheaper than a tiny house for less than $5,000, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Go park it out there, and when they buy the property, send them the keys. Say last time the guy drove it out there, it started, but I don't know if it's going to start for you. This opens you up to a whole different type of buyer, somebody who's really ready to and will pay for this, really ready to move on to the property. So, would you do it? Like, I'll tell you what's good about this. It takes about 20 minutes to do the whole thing. If you just make sure the property is set up from a use standpoint where you can actually park an RV on it. You don't want to do this in an infill lot in a $220,000 HOA driven subdivision and
tick off all the neighbors.
Yeah. Make sure it's possible. So, but the good news is that this is all of a weekend. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can do it yourself, obviously.
Right.
It's not like, tomorrow I think we're talking about access.
Right.
Or splitting property, that takes months and months. So of all the things that you can do to a property to improve it, to make it way more valuable, this is a top of my list.
That's good. I even think of not even just making it more valuable, just making it stand out from everything else available. You know, if you've ever gone on, LandWatch or like LandPin, yeah, our site, and you're scrolling down the property, you know, it's all vacant land, there's nothing on it, it's trees and whatever, and all of a sudden you see one with a structure or an RV,
yeah,
or a mobile, you're like, it makes you stop. And then you see the yeah, price is not far off from all these other ones, and
exactly,
it's got something on it.
Exactly.
That's what you just did. You got so many more eyes on your property.
That's it,
it's awesome. So,
and every time we've ever done
don't
this,
pretend
it,
by the way. Please don't Photoshop a thing on there, because that's not cool. Make it real, you know?
We had a person who worked for us, and he didn't work here for very long, who had the mentality that Jill's talking about. Oh, wait, I'm going to make this look perfect.
Right.
I'll tell you a funny personal story, too.
I like those.
Jill and I had a bunch of professional photos taken a while ago. This is a lot, like 2 years ago. Because the silly show does so well, and we decided to promote it, and we sent out these pictures to be like cleaned up,
right?
And it came back. Jill looked like a hooker.
Huh.
She had like she looked like she was a 22-year-old hooker.
That's hilarious.
Like, she was perfect. There was no flaw on
her face.
None
of it was real.
Makeup was perfect.
Oh, I got flaws.
It's like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
You know, I looked like the same person. They did the same stuff to me. I looked like a clown is what I looked like.
Yeah, it was a little too much.
So you don't want to turn your pictures of your property into that at all. Or maybe
it's
you
not
do.
Realistic.
I mean, that's kind of really who you are, and you want to trick somebody into buying something from you.
Yeah.
Because that's what this person's personality was. Oh, you can't tell them the truth.
Right.
No, you won't sell anything. Life is horrible. That guy worked for us for like a week.
I don't remember who it was.
That's why.
Okay. I love it.
I've said what I need to say on this topic, Jill. Have you?
I have.
It's a good idea. If you have to improve the property, it's a great idea. This is for rural vacant land, by the way. This is not, don't do anything like this for houses or infill lots.
Right.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another, I don't know, 15 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we talk about creating access to your land.
And answer your questions posted on our free online community, landinvestors.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That was good.
It was.
Do you have any more things? I'm trying to think if there's anything to add. So I say people, this is one of those things too. Try it. See, I don't know. None of this is crazy. These are all, you know, I look at this week as all good ideas.
Yeah.
Helping you think about really what's possible. And then sharing with you, so getting you to think about what's possible and sharing with you, because this is what we're all about, the truth about it. Like, all right, here's what you need to think about and do it the right way. And how much time do you really want to invest in this? You know, like a weekend thing is one thing. A 90-day project is another thing, because it's going to consume you for 90 days when you can make money. You could be making more money.
You know, we should have talked about this in the past yesterday, that there are some counties, specifically in Texas, that allow you to split property really easily. You just submit some paperwork and a recompleted plat map. And they don't really look at it too closely.
Application fee.
They tend to be the smaller rural counties that would rather have a 40-acre property split up into 5-acre properties so that it's all separate APNs to increase their tax base.
Right.
So they're usually a small county where everybody's talking and saying, you know what, we should let this guy do this because it's going to increase the tax base on this
20
one property.
Buyers, right. 20 people. Our chances of getting money out of this property from 80% of these 20 people versus this one person.
Exactly.
Makes a difference.
Which is really, in my opinion, logical, but government and logic usually don't go hand in hand.
Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.